Over the next few minutes, I'd like to provide you with some of the research we're performing at Penn State, which looks at the phylogeographic structure of one of the members of the Fraterculus group, Anastrepa obliqua. The more substantial portion of our results are within the study of Anastrepa obliqua, so I'll use that in the time remaining. Anastrepa is perhaps the most important genus of Tephritids in the New World. There are approximately 200 described species within this genus, 15 that are considered of economic importance, and an additional 28 that occasionally infest cultivated plant species. Anastrepha obliqua, or the West Indian fruit fly, has a wide host range, utilizing resources from about 60 or so plant species. It's a major pest of mango and plums. It also has a wide geographic distribution stretching from the southern tier states of the United States through Mexico, Central America, and into southern Brazil, northern Argentina. It's also found in the Caribbean islands. Its impact to agriculture is both direct and indirect. It directly affects the value and condition of fruit when the fruit fly larvae feed on the fruit pulp. And both communities and markets are indirectly affected as a result of having to implement costly management strategies like the sterile insect technique, as well as from restrictions to trade as a result when there's an infestation in certain areas and they can't ship out. Previous studies have used Alazyme and RFLP on this and other members of the Fraterculus group. We employ a more informative sequence-based approach targeting cytochrome oxidase 1 and NADH subunit 6. We attempt to show that the genetic variation is substantial and that we can characterize geographic collections. This is all part of a larger study we're performing at Penn State, which looks at pest species from this genus that are of importance, economic importance to U.S. and international agencies. The results of our analysis is based on our examination of 263 individual fruit flies, which represent approximately 5 to 6 individuals per collection. In total, we have samples, and this analysis represents 46 geographic collections from 14 different countries throughout the geographic range of this fruit fly. Our results yielded us a fragment of 812 bases for CO1 and a 740 base pair fragment for ND6. When we combine these data sets, we observe that there are 72 out of the 1,552 sites were variable. This, in turn, provides us 57 haplotypes for these individuals that we analyzed. Our initial analysis using FST estimates let us know that there is substantial structure throughout the range for these collections. This chart shows the 8 most common haplotypes and frequencies observed for those specimens we analyzed. Now, the most common haplotypes are defined as those being shown by 5 or more individuals. And for your reference, what I've done here is I've placed those 4 major geographic areas with respective sample sizes, as well as the haplotypes and respective frequencies for each of those regions. And before I actually show you the distribution over the geographic range, what I'd like to do is point out some interesting notions about this. For example, haplotype 22 is observed only in samples from Mexico. They happen to be seen in samples from western Mexico. Haplotypes 5, 7, and 8 are unique only to Caribbean samples. And then haplotype 3 was only observed in samples from Brazil. Now, there were some haplotypes, obviously, that were shared between regions. Those include haplotype 1, which was observed in samples from Mexico, the Central America, and the Caribbean. This is the distribution of those haplotypes over the geographic range. And I'd like to show you some similarities and differences between some of those haplotypes as well as the clusters of haplotypes. For example, this first cluster of haplotypes from Eastern Mexico, Central America, and the Caribbean are very similar. These only differ by 1 to 4 out of the 1,552 bases. This next cluster is of haplotypes, and I wasn't able to grab the Panama. You can see the green haplotype there, but it's included, should be included in this. There are two haplotypes here that were observed throughout this entire range. Now, we're continuing to collect samples from this area in collaboration with Janicet Silva, but I want you to see that throughout this large geographic range, these two haplotypes only differ by one base. When we compare these two clusters, we see a great disparity. You know, these differ by 30 to 33 bases. Quite a bit of difference. Also interesting here is those western Mexico samples producing haplotype 22. When you compare that haplotype to this other cluster shown here, we see a great difference as well, 27 to 30 bases. However, when we compare the southern cluster, South America and Panama cluster, to the western Mexico haplotype, we don't see as great a difference. You know, interesting. These differ only by 15 to 16 bases. And this is just a neighbor joining tree, just kind of telling that same story. We see that top cluster, which has the haplotypes from Eastern Mexico, Central America, very similar to those haplotypes from the Caribbean, which are that group very different from that one haplotype shown by samples from Western Mexico, which are more similar to haplotypes from South America and Panama. All right, so what does this story tell us? Well, what we can say is that the study has provided us a wealth of information that could be used to improve or tailor some of the pest management strategies, such as the sterile insect technique, which where differences as great as this could actually translate to biological differences that might be of importance and may suggest that we look at organisms a little closer if we're going to be using them in this fashion. These molecular data may also serve as further tools for, in terms of diagnostics, to be able to distinguish an interception to a geographic area. Certainly a critical component for risk assessment and pathway analyses types of methods being used by agencies such as APHIS, who I work for. Many of these specimens were identified by trained taxonomists. However, we see a great difference between some of these collections. This may suggest that we perhaps revisit the morphology on some of these. Also, in terms of the diversity that we've just seen with respect to the Fraterculus species complex, this may also be of importance when we're looking closer at the species complex and trying to ask more questions on it. So, we're certainly very grateful to the two labs that function to work within this project, both the Penn State Laboratory, the McFerrin Lab, as well as the USDA facility in Edinburg, Texas, and of course are very grateful to the funding provided to us by the Center for Plant Health Science and Technology. And with that, thank you very much. I'll be glad to welcome any questions.